You got your Bible, you got your device with you this morning. Let's get open to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy this morning. Let's just pause this morning as I open the scriptures. I just want to pray really quick. Father, this morning we thank you that your word is alive, has the power and authority to change our lives. It's your word, it's active. As we open it together this morning, Father, we thank you that you're going to speak to us. Would you change our hearts, which will influence our mind and our actions, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul here is writing to a good friend of his, Timothy. He's kind of mentored and discipled Timothy in the ministry. He's kind of released him into the ministry, and now he's writing some letters to his friend Timothy. And let's pick up on some of the things that he is saying to him. So in verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. The Apostle Paul could have easily said to his friend Timothy, because he wasn't, you know, he's kind of flip-flopping around. He wasn't really doing exactly what he was called to do. And Paul comes in not with correction. He comes in with a step up, almost a hand up. He's saying, your grandmother had this, your mother had this, and I believe it's also in you, this sincere faith. He's calling Timothy up. He's not pointing out faults. Isn't that kind of easy for us sometimes to see the negative or the faults in people and situations? But he's calling him up. He's not pointing those things out. Verse 6, it says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. Fan it into flame. That means that Timothy has a gift, but maybe the gift has burned out. Maybe somebody's even stepped on Timothy's gift or said something to Timothy that's made him want to kind of stop doing what he's called to do. And Paul is saying, we got to fan it into flames. We got to kind of like, we got to add some gasoline, or we got to add something to what you have to kind of get it going again. Now, when you start fires, and when I've been out in the bushes, I grew up in Prince Rupert, so we hung out in the bushes a lot. If there was any forest fires in Prince Rupert, I promise that wasn't me. You know, we're innocent of all that. It was back in the 80s, so don't pin me on that one. But we would kind of know after years and years of starting fires, like, okay, where's downwind? So when I light the fire, the wind will actually become like, it'll push the air and make a bit of a fan, and it will start the fire quite easily. Because if you're doing it the opposite way and the wind's blowing, you're never going to get the thing going. So you have to fan it into flames. You have to kind of get it going. And sometimes it takes people, it takes situations to kind of get it going again because it's been snuffed out. Yesterday at the camp, we had a rocket. I know that sounds crazy, but it was just a small little bottle rockety thing. I don't know, we were shooting this thing off. And it was like, okay, the fuse, no, it didn't work. We had an igniter, it didn't work. And I'm like, I thought we were working at the camp, not just trying to light off a rocket. We spent like a lot of time trying to get this rocket to go, but we wanted it to go. We wanted to see it blast off. There was kids around. We couldn't disappoint the poor kids, right? You got to think about the kids. Oh, Bobby's even here today. Sorry, I didn't realize you were here this morning. Is that okay if I share that story? Okay, good. We're okay. Yes, amen. And he's like, I'll get, you know, some fuses and some. I was like, where are you getting this? He's like, it's in my car. I said, what stuff you got in there? But anyways, eventually we got the rocket to blast off. But it took some effort to get it to go. And almost like the gift that God's given you, sometimes it gets quiet. Sometimes we feel like it's been snuffed out. Sometimes the situations around us have distracted us from what we're called to do. And what you're called to do, when it actually gets ignited and takes off, we were able to all watch this rocket. It was way up high for everybody to see. For everybody to see in the church, for everybody to see in this community what you're called to do, what your gift is. We need to fan it sometimes. Sometimes we need to encourage each other, you know, love on each other. Let me just finish kind of reading this part of the thought here, jumping into verse 7 now. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and his grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality and light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know who I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ. What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. The pattern of sound teaching is the things that we've just read there, of, you know, being sincere in our faith, sincere in our love. The last few months since I've been here, you've probably noticed I'm trying to lay a foundation of faith, that we believe that Christ did this, we believe where we're positioned with Christ, we know who we are in Christ. And now that we know that, then we do this, what Paul is encouraging his good friend Timothy, with faith. So we have faith, and now we operate in love, and love. So how are we going to operate in love? If you see on TPA Connect on our Facebook page, I usually say what's going to be happening tomorrow and what's going on, and even in the newspaper you'll see under our church there's a bit of a slogan going. It says, love God. So we're doing that. We've laid some foundations of that, and it says love people is next. We love people well. And then it says to love the church, and we'll talk about that, you know, in the months to come. But how do we love people well? In verse 14 it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. How are we ever going to love people without the Holy Spirit? It's not possible. So what God has given you, recognize it, fan it into flame, and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help you be able to operate in that. I find it so easy over all the years where I was not saved, reminding myself that we'd always just point out faults and flaws in people, and faults and flaws when I looked in the mirror at myself. I don't need other people to point out my faults and flaws, because I've got the enemy who's working a full-time job, and I've got my own thoughts that enter my mind about my own feelings. So I got lots of that. I don't need a third person telling me about my faults and flaws. I need somebody to love me and equip me and lift me up and encourage me. And that's why we turn to God. But God lives inside of us, and God, through us, we can help other people by loving them. So love your gift, love what God gave you, guard it, and use it to help others. This morning I was thinking about my own children and their gift and what they're called to. And my wife is up there talking to them right now, so the gift of listening is on the table right now, I can see. Can I be that transparent here? Is that okay? But in all honesty, my son Moses is absolutely brilliant. In high school, he's moved schools, right? He's moved from Whitehorse to Terrace. And he's still in the French immersion program, which is not easy. Amelie and I do not speak French, so he's all on his own. He got 5 A's and 3 B's in the French program. Yeah. Now he's smiling a little bit higher up there. But God needs really smart people too. Maybe he'll become a bit of a biblical theologian. Maybe he'll become a lawyer like my mother. Maybe he'll become a doctor. Whatever The sky's the limit for him. He's so smart. Such a smart kid. My son, Emmanuel, he's up there as well. All my whole family's up there. We don't have kids anymore. They all moved upstairs. But my son, Emmanuel, is the most peaceful individual you'd ever meet. One reason we actually named him Emmanuel is our good friend Pastor Emmanuel, who lives in Tuktoyaktuk, Northwest Territories, right on the Arctic Ocean. And he's a First Nation individual. He's like the Bear Grylls of the Northwest Territories, a wonderful man. He hunts polar bears and, you know, harpoons beluga whales. It's just brilliant. The guy's awesome. But when you meet him, he's just so gentle. You're just around him and you're just peaceful. And you kind of want to sit next to him. And my son Emmanuel has the same spirit. Oh, man, just some of this. When his teacher wrote his report card a few years ago, in the notes at the bottom, they said that when a kid would act up in the class, I would sit him down next to your son so he'd calm down. And when I was having a bad day, the teacher said I would sit next to him. So good, eh? That's my son Emmanuel. He's a wonderful guy. My daughter Celeste is probably the most generous girl that I know. She so often thinks about other people. I go through my kids. Every week we go on daddy dates. So it's like, oh, it's your daddy date. They get to pick a movie. They get to go out. We'll go out. We'll do whatever they want to do. Ice skating, you know, ice cream, slushies, Walmart, whatever we want to do. And my daughter Celeste often will buy something for someone else, and then she might buy something for herself. That's my daughter Celeste. She's so generous. I love it. I don't tell her to do that. She just does it. That's the gift that God's given her. And then my last daughter, Vivian, is the most compassionate girl that I know. She's waving at me, yeah. Even though I threw her stuffy last Sunday, she still loves me. We're okay. But when somebody in our family is hurt or crying, without even a hesitation, she'll just run and get their favorite stuffy or blanket or toy and just bring it to them when they're in tears. Then we had some good friends over just recently, and one of the kids got hurt. We were playing hockey downstairs. We got the mini hockey sticks, and chop, oh, right on the thumb, right? I said, we're like, it's part of hockey, you know, suck it up, you're going to be okay, and but just tears, right? It was a manly game, right? You got to kind of raise them up. You're calling them up to not cry, but anyways, got one on the knuckle there, and so he was crying, and we were just trying to comfort him, make him feel okay, and, you know, here's the ball, you can get a goal or something. And then my daughter Vivian, you know, again, without any leading, she comes around the corner. She has written a card because she knows how to spell now and write. She did a picture and says, I'm so sorry you got hurt. Homemade card. That's my daughter, Vivian. Just very, very compassionate and loving. And that just comes out of her because it's what is inside of her. As parents, wow, I really want to try to do an amazing job parenting my kids. But like most of us, it's so easy sometimes to see the negative in their situation and to point out the flaws and the things that they do wrong and pick up your toys and all these kind of things. The list goes on and on. But can I suggest as Christian parents, let's call them up. They already know that stuff. They already understand that stuff. They already feel those feelings. Let's look above that situation. Let's be the ones that invest and pour in and love on our kids. If you're here as a grandparent, you think you've got children of your own that, you know, might not know Christ. But let's pray and believe and love that they will come to know Christ. As parents here today, we've got kids that maybe aren't serving the Lord. Young kids, let's pray and believe and love on them that they will serve the Lord. If you're a young kid right here, please pray for your parents that we would do a good job this morning, eh? I've heard so many great stories and read books where people at birthdays or at Christmas time won't actually physically buy a gift for their children. They'll actually speak into their lives. So say at Christmas time you would say, you know, you're going to get a gift, you know, kid's going to get a gift for sure. But they would say, you know what, this is what I see in you, and I want to pray this into your life. I see that you're a gift giver. I see that you're generous. I see that you're compassionate. And you speak that into a kid's life, they will just light up. Because you know they're about to open a gift and play with the box. That's reality, right? We all know that's going to happen. I don't care how much money you spent on that gift. The box is usually the funnest thing. I received this bowl. It's just a simple little bowl. So many years ago, and somebody did this for me. They spoke into my life, and it really made such a powerful impact. I will never forget it. And this bowl represents what that impact was on my life. So, previous church, we own a camp called Camp Yukon, and one of the hotels in town in Whitehorse got rid of all their old plates and bowls and purchased new ones. So they donated it all to our camp. So in the basement of our chapel was like hundreds of these things and different kinds of dishes. And we had a guest speaker from out of town come in, and he went down there, he grabbed one of these bowls, and he jiffied it all up, and I thought, what? You know, why would you? But at the end of it, I was okay with it. His name is Pastor Lloyd Ziegler. He's the founder of Master's Commission USA. Master's Commission is similar to like a YWAM or something to this effect, Youth for Christ. It's a great, great program. Lloyd Ziegler, his gift is to mentor and disciple young people. And he's mentored and discipled probably thousands of young people. And we had many of them come to our camp and speak into it. And then finally one day we got the big kahuna, in a sense, come and to our camp and speak into our kids' lives. But at some point at the teen camp, I was the director of the teen camp back in the day. He pulls me up on stage and he gives me this bowl. And I thought it was, you know, I just was like, what's going on here? I'm like, we're here for the kids. We're not here for me. I'm the director. I'm here to serve, not be served, in a sense. And what he did is he had all the team members of the Master's Commission sign it. So we got Donald, Yanni, Fernando, Chelsea, and Ashley. And this was the team that had come up. And he's mentoring all these young kids right here on this cup. And in 2012 was when he gave it to me. And at that point in Amelie and I's life, we were at a place where we were living in a trailer, and we had four kids. A two-bedroom trailer, two bunk beds in one room. And the kids loved it, actually. When we left, they were kind of sad, you know. But we thought we should probably get a little bit of a bigger footprint, a little bit of a bigger space. And in the process, the real estate had just skyrocketed, so we were actually going to inherit a lot of money on paper. And our church was going through a building program. Our church was growing and thriving, and we wanted to build a bigger church, kind of like this facility. So we wanted to make a large donation. And in that year, Amelie and I had given and donated a lot of other things and money. And, you know, secretively, though. We didn't want people to know. We didn't want, you know, to kind of toot our own horns and all that kind of stuff. So nobody knew. Like, honestly, nobody knew. We actually were able to give things away, and nobody ever found out. It was awesome. It was like, somebody blessed us. I said, yeah, that's a great person, isn't it? You should pray for that person, you know. It was just, we had a lot of fun with it. But this pastor, Lloyd Ziegler, there is no way that he knew anything that we were doing that year. But for some reason, he said to me, he said, I feel like I need to say this to you. And on the bottom of this cup right here, it says, give. He's watching. And I just broke into tears. I thought, are you kidding me? I thought, oh, man, like, that's what we live for, these moments. Just want to serve our God. And I know that he's watching, but sometimes we just need a little reminder, don't we? So when we see people and our kids and they're doing good things, sometimes they need a reminder. Love on them, encourage them. There's a scripture in here that he wrote on the very bottom. And I want to read it to you in just a second. But at Christmas time when we first moved here, we asked you to write cards. I write questions on here. Tough questions that Pastor Rachel and I would try and answer in the months to come. And we received lots of these questions. And there were two kids that actually wrote questions as well. I'm going to recognize one of them today, and at some point in the future, I'm going to recognize the other kid. I've asked their parents for permission, so we're okay. I'm just double-checking with you. So this individual, he put on here, Gordon Lindsay, grade 6, age 11, wrote a question about being generous. He said he was just wrestling with how I should be generous, who I should be generous with. And this morning, Gordon, would you kind of come up here? I want to give you this cup, actually, because it means a lot to me, but it's going to mean a lot to you as well. So this scripture that's on here is on the bottom. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And what it says in here, Gordon, it says, don't let the book of life depart from your mouth. So don't let this book ever depart. As you're wrestling with being generous and giving, this is who will tell you and where you'll find the answers in his book. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So as you're generous, God will be very generous back to you. Verse 9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So whenever you're wrestling with questions like that, you turn to this book and we'll have the answers. Your dad's pretty awesome too, and your mom, but this book is a lot better than that. So this morning, I didn't mean that to be funny. This morning, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? I just want to pray for you this morning, okay? So this morning, God, we thank you for Gordon's heart for you, Father, as he's wrestling about being generous and who to be generous with, God. We thank you that you've put that spirit within him of generosity. Father, we're wanting to fan it into flame this morning, that he would be more generous and not selfish. He'd be selfless when he faces situations, Father. We thank you for his life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Gordon. When I worked at Walmart for so many years as a manager, I laugh at these stories because they're a lot of fun, but lots of time the people that worked at the front at the courtesy desk, they would phone me to come and deal with an upset customer. And the customer would have an item that looks like they had thrown it off a roof. And then a bus had run it over, and they now wanted to return it. And the lady at the front was like, this is not fair. They don't even have a receipt. And I would go up to the front and I would say, what is it? Like, it's so mangled that I can't even tell what it is. And the company's policy was to just give them their money back, no questions asked. Because they believed in this thought that if the customer left happy, they would tell two or three other people. If they left unhappy, they would tell 10 or more people about their unhappy, pleasant experience. So as funny as all that sounds, we need good experiences. Because the bad experiences just snowball. And the good experiences sometimes are few and far between. So let's be people that operate in good experiences. Loving experiences, healthy words. If you think about our Lord and Jesus, you know, he's up on the cross, he's dying, he's looking down at people that are cursing him and swearing and spitting at him and nailing him to a cross. He had every right to let loose after all that punishment he had taken. He had every right to look down at humanity and say, I am sick and tired of this. But his response is the heart that we want, the heart of our Heavenly Father. He said, what did he say? Forgive them. Didn't look at the negative faults, didn't point out all their shortcomings. He said, God, forgive them because I want a relationship with these people. And I love them, and I will not point out their faults. I am passionately in love with people. And that's the kind of God that we serve when he looks down at us. So when we look at one another, as God's, you know, in God's image, respond with love, words of encouragement, stop pointing out our faults. This morning, let's close our eyes and bow our heads just for a moment. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now. I just want the Holy Spirit to allow him to speak to you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning through this message? I really felt heavily on my heart that some of us are here this morning and we need to just repent of our negative fault-finding, pointing fingers. We just need to repent to God for those kind of thoughts. And we need to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and give us right thoughts and a right attitude and a loving nature towards people. So let's allow God to do that just for a moment this morning. Let's pray over you this morning. God, we thank you that you're such a loving God. You love us no matter what we've done or whatever kind of circumstances we're facing or what we did yesterday. You just love us unconditionally. And God, would you give us the same heart that you have for your people, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, our co-workers, wherever we're finding it tough, Father. God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're at work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.